Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, welcome back to the show. Delighted to introduce the editor of This Is Money, Simon Lambert. This is on a topic that is getting increasing amounts of media attention, and it's buy-to-let. So, good morning and welcome, Simon.
Morning.
How much interest is buy-to-let currently getting?
Well, there's been a surge in interest in buy-to-let, I think, recently. We've seen buy-to-let mortgages continue to climb strongly. They sort of fell off a cliff in, 2007, 2008 as the financial crisis hit. But they've continued to climb strongly since then. Also, Nationwide put out some figures yesterday suggesting as many as 38% of home sales are now cash buyers, and they credited a lot of that to landlords as well. And also, we've got the new pension freedom reforms, which give people access to their pension pot to do as they please. And that, I think, is causing a lot more interest in investing in property.
So what's the particular attraction of buy-to-let?
I think people look at property and buy-to-let in particular, and they see it as a way of, A, investing in something that they know. Everybody feels that they understand property. They understand a bit about the property market. They see it as a safer investment, safe as houses, so to speak. And they look at the rental income. I think a lot of people are investing for that rental income. We've got interest rates on the floor. People get a very poor return on their cash savings. And so they look at maybe 5% from a buy-to-let and they think, that's not bad, I'll take that.
And presumably there are some sort of tax implications of if it's your second property.
Yeah, there are. And I think that one of the things that perhaps people don't think about is that I think we get a lot of people considering buy-to-let or saying, yeah, I'm going to invest in property, and not potentially weighing up all of the implications of it.
Yeah.
So you've got to consider the fact that that income's going to be taxed. You can offset your mortgage interest against the rental income that you're getting, and you're only paying tax on the difference between the two. But you are going to pay tax on that. If you make money off the back of a rise in house prices, you're going to face capital gains tax at either 18%, or, to be honest, as that gain is added to your income to decide the tax rate, it's probably going to be 28%.
Yep.
And then there's all the other costs that people need to think about, and I'm not sure they weigh those up properly.
Now, on the basis that we have seen, particularly in the southeast, of course, house prices continue to soar. The very fact that it's getting on the mainstream can be the first sort of warning bell, because it's now becoming mainstream. Is there any danger here that we're wandering into some kind of bubble, do you think?
Well, I think it's quite interesting. Some of the things I've seen recently, there has definitely been an increase in that kind of promotion that you see around investing in property to make money. And generally, that's a sign that, stuff's being pushed towards people. But I don't think we're seeing the stuff that, for example, I was seeing in 2006, 2007, when you would have said that we were at the peak of that housing boom. At that time, I think I was seeing a lot more surrounding buy-off plan, buy these new build apartments, flip them, make a quick 10 or 20,000 pounds. I think now it's a lot more about the income that you can get from the rent, and people aren't thinking about just flipping that home and making a quick house price gain. Because the problem with doing that to make that quick house price gain is house prices might not go up. Mm. You might buy a property, house prices might not go anywhere. To be honest, they're pretty high compared to wages. It's very difficult to see how you could see those gains seen between, say, 1997 and 2007 repeated if wages don't rise substantially. And they could fall. And the problem with buy-to-let is most people do it with a mortgage. Now, what people need to bear in mind is that a lot of those gains that we've heard about in years gone past, the mate down the pub or someone's brother that you know who made 50 grand, 60 grand on their buy-to-let property, a lot of that's done off borrowed money. So if most people buy a buy-to-let with a mortgage, you put down a £50,000 deposit, you make a £10,000 profit due to rising house prices, you've made £10,000 or £50,000. But if prices fall, it's your deposit that gets hit first, and you still owe the rest of that money on the mortgage.
Okay, so from a kind of practical perspective, what are some of the things that you need to look out for? and what do you need to do, and how do you do it right?
Well, I think one of the things that you need to watch out for is basically you need to keep a tight control on your costs. I was looking at a piece of research from Easy Property recently, who allow landlords to rent out their own homes, bypassing an agent. And they were talking about landlords who aren't really making any money. Once they've factored in all of their costs, they're not really making any money. So you've got to think about the tax that's going to be taken off, what you're getting in, your maintenance costs. It costs money to maintain a property. Anybody who owns their own home knows how difficult it is to maintain their own home.
And presumably the insurance is down to you as well.
Insurance, let alone maintain two homes.
Sure.
You've got letting agents fees. You could be paying a letting agent upward of 10% a month. You've also got all those other little things that you just need to keep on top of, such as, you know, perhaps furnishing the place, looking after the tenants. And the big killer for a lot of people's returns that people do need to factor in is void periods. If you're not in London, then it might take time for your property to rent. If you're in London, then you're probably in a lucky position where you could rent it in a day. But once you start going outside of those really hot demand property areas, you might find that your property sits vacant for perhaps a month. And, you know, the expert advice is to always factor in at least 1 month a year of void periods. And if you've got a mortgage payment coming out of £1,000 and you're property's empty for a month, then you're going to be £1,000 down on that. And that all eats into people's returns. You can offset some of this stuff against your tax bill, but what I would say to people considering buy-to-let is sit down, run the numbers properly, and then work out what your return is after you've factored in all those costs, not do it based on the return that you think you're going to get before you take those into account.
I guess the other thing is, depending on, I don't know if there are any figures on the sort of age, average age of landlords, if you like, is whether you've actually got time to manage the second property within your schedule, or whether you actually consider letting someone else do it for you, because clearly that can be a significant cost if you're giving it to a management company, for example.
Yeah, and I think there's an interesting element here surrounding sort of the pension freedom reforms, which, you know, one of the things that people are looking at is, well, you know, we did a poll actually on This Is Money. We asked people where was the best place to invest. If they had a £100,000 pension pot, where was the best place to invest it? And just over 20% of people said property. Now, are all of those people factoring in the amount of work that goes into running a property? Because unless you're going to use an agent, which you could do, but that's going to eat into your returns. Now, you could take the DIY route and manage it yourself, but do you know a plumber? Do you know an electrician? Are you factoring in getting all the work done on the house that needs to be done? And whilst that might look, you know, relatively easy to someone in their 40s and 50s, do you want to be doing that in your 60s and 70s? And I think that's something that the investment industry has honed in on as well, is, you know, the great thing about an investment fund for your returns in retirement is you don't have to go round and give it a lick of paint every so often.
Well, that's absolutely fascinating. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about it, and hopefully that's given everyone a very good introduction into, if they are considering it, exactly what to do next. So thank you very much indeed for your time, Simon, and we'll be back after the break.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.